Well, never a day off in the kingdom, is there? I've just come to receive. thank you. My name's Stephen. We're based in Oxford, and we lead a church there that we've planted. But it wasn't always like that, of course. I grew up in Doncaster and got bullied at school. Things going off at home as well, as there always is in our lives, parents and things like that. And that really does have an impact in how we start our lives off, our entry into the world, and some of the, bumps and bruises we get emotionally and spiritually can often, causes our lives to go on a certain trajectory. Not that it's just my parents' fault. I mean, I'm responsible for my own sin. I have choices to make, and we all have to make choices. So by the age of 16, I was introduced to cannabis at the back gates of school, and it seemed like a wise decision to start smoking cannabis because I was bullied at school, and I thought, well, if I smoke cannabis, I'll no longer be bullied. So I started smoking a bit of weed. It fixed a problem, you could say, for a moment. But then by the time I left school, I found that I was addicted to drugs, dependent. I ended up injecting speed and ecstasy at the age of 17 years old, in and out of mental health hospitals, talking to my fingers, my nipples, you name it. I was barking crazy, hearing voices coming from the four corners of the ward, thinking that everybody else in the hospital could hear these voices. And, life just carried on down that trajectory, really. By the age of 19, I was an alcoholic. I was committing street robberies. I was beating people up, robbing the money, robbing their iPods and whatever I could get. Not only because that fed my addiction financially, but also because I got bullied at school. I had this idea that I was a bit of a victim, and I was trying to victimize other people to try and help heal and combat that emotional scar that I had within me. I went to a prison, and the rest is history, really. Came out of prison, I got engaged to a woman, and ended up on heroin as she was sleeping around with other men, and I was just pretending it weren't happening because my life was in such a mess. I had to cling to what I had, even though I had nothing to cling hold of. It was just an illusion that I actually had something worth clinging on to. So I ended up on heroin. I made the choice to start to be a junkie. I'll never forget that. The day I chose to be a junkie, started injecting heroin in my arm, smoking crack cocaine, alcohol. I was taking 25 cocodamol a day on top of 7 litres of cider. And some people, I used to get my stomach pumped quite regularly after going to the police station after I'd been fighting or something like that. So it's a miracle that I'm here today. It's a miracle that I'm here. I nearly died 3 times as well. I remember I got thrown off of a bridge outside Doncaster Prison into the River Don after being beaten up, and someone found me walking his dog. I ended up in hospital. Praise God that I'm here still. I got knocked over by a car on a dual carriageway on Balby Road, doing about 40 mile an hour. I ended up on the other side of the dual carriageway. I just woke up. Where's my trainer gone? People are like, no, don't worry about your trainer. What about you? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm always okay. I'm like the cat with 9 lives. And then I got beaten up in a bed sit in Bulby by a gang who left me in a pool of blood on my bed, covered in glass. I couldn't see out my eyes. My eyes were stuck together. I had blood coming out of my ear. And I was in the hospital ward, detoxed off alcohol. My mum walks in. She goes, oh, you know what? God's got such a plan for your life. He's like, he's got his hand on you. He's protecting you. I said, Mum, like, if you believe in God, you're silly. Like, I'm just solid, man. They can't keep me down. They can't. But you know what? My mum was true. God did have a plan for my life. And through the breakdown of my engagement, which is a bit of a Mickey Mouse engagement. I mean, you're on heroin, and I bought a £50 engagement ring. Not much of an engagement ring, was it? But, a bit of a Mickey Mouse, bit of a pipe dream, really, I was living. And the pipe dream came to an end. I woke up from the dream, you could say. And she left me for another heroin addict, and I ended up at Teen Challenge, dropping, where I walked in, broken, suicidal, tried to commit suicide a few times, tried to overdose myself. Walked in, I thought, you know what, I'm just like I just need sort of shoulder to cry on. I'm just so lonely, I'm broken, I'm cold inside, I'm dead inside. Andrew Golber comes out, Pastor Andrew comes out, and he says, we need to talk, don't we? And I'm like, yeah, we do. And I would never like that. Every time I went to drop-ins, because I grew up in a Christian family, I was like, man, I don't want to know anything about Jesus, because I've heard it all before, and I hate the sound of it. But I was like, look, I need shoulders to cry on. I'll put up with Jesus. If I just want to be fathered, you know what I mean? So we went through, we talked about Teen Challenge, we filled the forms in there, and then it turns out that he knows me grandma, he knows me granddad, John Smith, he knows all my family. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. He's like extended family, you know, like extended family, but in the kingdom of God. And we started meeting up at that cafe near the church. And I can remember one time, he says, you know where you're going, don't you, if you're carrying down this path? No, why do you? Yeah, you're going to hell. You know what? Sometimes that's what we need to hear, guys. Like, just the simple reality of the gospel. Not all this, like, Jesus commit your life, amazing. You go into hell if you don't get born again and saved. So anyway, we start going to Andrew Goldberg's church, Avisfield. And I got convicted of my sin in my bed sit watching Match of the Day. All the idolatry of football. And then within 6 weeks later, I'd say, started reading the Bible, started coming to church. Thought they were all barking mad. They were all praying in tongues, putting their hands out, praying for healing, people at the front. I'm sat at the back there thinking, you know what, either these people, they're either crazy or God is really here, you know, speaking in tongues, like all this sort of stuff. And I went through that for a bit and just didn't really trust people. They were so loving. And I thought, you're making me feel uncomfortable, all this love you're showing to me and this trust getting me to help out in the bookshop. Leading me in a bookshop, like, I'm a junkie, don't do that. But they invited me in, they trusted me, they loved me. And I end up in this training centre doing a forklift test. And anyway, I went into a toilet cubicle and I got born again. I repented of my sin. I repented of my rebellion, of my hatred of my family, my hatred of Jesus, all of it, just my rejection of Christ all my life. I repented of my sin. And in that moment, I was born again. I was touched. A fire lit in my stomach, it bubbled out of my belly, up from my chest. I thought I was coming up off of some ecstasy that I'd taken like five years ago or something. My pupils were fine. I was like, wow, I don't know what's going off here. All this light coming off, this euphoria. Walked out the toilet cubicle and it was like, boom. Whole life flashed before me. God was there. God was in that toilet cubicle. He made a toilet cubicle, a dirty, disgusting bog. He transformed it into holy ground. And it was like a burning bush moment. And after that, I left that training center. The sky was blue. The birds were singing. The trees were greener than ever. I'd been born again. I'd been made new inside. I had hope. I had joy. I had life. Started coming to church. Got off a script. But then I ended up having to go to rehab. And you know what? In the end, we fail. We fall, as we've already heard this morning. But even in our failings, even in our faithlessness, God remains faithful. And even our failures, he uses them to propel us into his predestined plan for us. And so I went to rehab, went to Teen Challenge, went there, didn't want to go there. In fact, they kidnapped me, like, you know, for a weekend. My heart sank. I had £100 left. I wanted to have one more blast on the crack cocaine. And I remember talking to Grace in the kitchen. Granted, they packed all my flat up. My heart sank. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, I wanted one more hit. Got to the kitchen, Grace is there saying, God loves you so much, he's covenanted to you. Amen to that, what a word. He's covenanted to you. And I was just thinking, I can taste crack cocaine and I don't want to, Grace, I don't want to be in front of you right now, man, you know. But thank God they did that. Thank God they took me prisoner, as Christ takes us prisoner. Amen. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ today. And we went to rehab. And then after 6 weeks, I didn't want to leave. Did their Teen Challenge Leadership Academy. Went to Bible college, got a degree. Incredible. Missed out by a first honours degree by one mark. This is someone who was in and out of jail, who was on smack, who was hearing voices. Got a degree. We went to Oxford. We planted a church. I'm married to a wonderful wife who I met at a street church. And I've got two wonderful, wonderful boys. And they are such a blessing. Life is a blessing. Now we get to do life together as a family. We get to raise children up. We get to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And we get to build the kingdom of God with our children. You know, life's been so amazing. I could just, you know, go on at how good God is. But I just pray that inspires you today. I want to thank God for this ministry. This is a great ministry that you're a part of. It's a great ministry that you're investing in. I'm only one testimony. There's many more testimonies, better than mine, that have been blessed by this ministry. So let's give God the praise this morning. Amen. Let's worship him. Hallelujah.
I just want to...